Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. More than a year ago, Fox multi-channel bundle Tubi entered the original programming hemisphere with made-for-TV movies, documentaries, and the toon series known as The Freak Brothers, whose creators were on this program a year ago. But almost a week ago, Tubi introduced what may be its first live-action scripted series, at least its first live-action superhero scripted series. Grounded is that series, one way or the other, and co-creators Carl Reed and Enrico Natale join me next. We introduced you to Entertainment, that's M-I-N-T, and it's aimed to get a variety of TV series going a few months ago. What's happening now? Genevieve Tears, the venture's person in charge, updates you next half hour. Also ahead, Chris Lee Knows Jail, more Walt Disney executive action, Netflix's New Year innovation, our new concert trivia question, and stay tuned for a special promo announcement coming your way shortly. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and present on Spotify, the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and other leading podcast destinations. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Welcome all of you on this Thanksgiving Tuesday to our second of our triple hitter episodes of the program all about TV's current and future. We've hit 50 degrees in the last hour here in the New York metro area. Hope all is great where you are, getting ready for a big Thanksgiving weekend. And we're happy you took time out to be with us on this program. We've got some wonderful guests over the next hour and change. And we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Pick up the phone, dial in. And when you do, you use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. And we've got our chat room in business and waiting for you. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. So go ahead and use it. And while the promo is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn screen, follow the instructions, and other people will be live with you. Our guests from Grounded in Los Angeles, Carl Reed and Enrico Natale, will join us, plus a special promoting announcement about what we're going to be doing later this week. It's very special, and we just got it nailed. We'll get to that after we get to these news notes. It's the end of the line for Chris Lee Knows Best, USA Network's popular reality series. Chalk that up to the Christie family heads, Todd and Julie, getting convicted of tax evasion and bank fraud. In a sentencing hearing yesterday, Todd was ordered to serve 12 years in prison, Julie 7. USA is expected to drop Chris Lee Knows Best after a decade-long run next year after presenting episodes taped before Todd and Julie's trial. Hours into Bob Iger's return as Walt Disney's prime leader, more executive departures are coming to light. First to go, Karine Daniel, head of the Media Distribution Group, charged with determining where specific Disney-created content plays. Daniel, who had that job for more than 2 years, was a protege of ousted Disney CEO Bob Chapek. He also oversaw the operation of Disney Plus and sister mega content services Hulu and ESPN Plus. Netflix will begin 2023 with one of the most unusual drama series created for television. Kaleidoscope, originally called Jigsaw, explores the effort by thieves to capture a huge cash load inside an unbreakable vault. The series takes a nonlinear format where viewers are invited to determine what order they want to see the 8 episodes. The full series will premiere January 1st with Giancarlo Esposito, Paz Vega, and Rufus Sewell among the cast. Now, quickies. More than 2.2 million people watched The Walking Dead series finale Sunday night via AMC. That's The Walking Dead's largest viewership for an episode in nearly 2 years. Telemundo's opening day of World Cup coverage in Spanish, simulcast on Peacock, reached 4 million viewers Sunday morning. Restaurant Impossible returns to Food Network with a new episode December 29th, with Robert Irvine back as the host. Another Food Mainstay series, Worst Cooks in America, featuring Ann Harrell, comes back New Year's night with Discovery Plus show simulcasting. Former This Is Us star Mandy Moore will take a co-star role for season 2 of Peacock's podcast adaptation, Dr. Death. And TMZ will organize a Merry Elfin Christmas special for Fox December 5th. Participants include Henry Winkler, Kenny G, Camille Vasquez, and Smokey Robinson. And that is news notes for today. And now, a very special promoting announcement. We are going to be on live this Friday morning. Yes, we're going to do something we've never done before on Tomorrow Be Televised, a day after Thanksgiving episode. And for that matter, it's a morning episode. Why? Because we're going live to the World Cup 2022 taking place as we speak in Qatar. And we will be joined by, in a special exclusive interview, Ray Warren, the executive president of Telemundo Deportes, and Eli Vasquez, Telemundo Deportes' executive vice president of sports content. We'll talk about what's going on with the World Cup, We'll prepare you for the big match with England and the United States, which will be happening later that morning. We'll also talk about some of the controversies with FIFA, including why games are decided by penalty kicks, and a whole lot more. And if you've seen Telemundo's cover, just talked about it a moment ago, it's been really terrific from the get-go. So be sure to join me at a special time, 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific. That's 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific, excuse me, Friday morning, with Ray Warren, the head of Telemundo Deportes, and Eli Velasquez, Telemundo Deportes Executive IC, live from the World Cup in Qatar. That's this Friday, exclusive right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. And now joining me to talk about Grounded, which looks like it may be 2B's first original live-action scripted series, at least on a superhero level, the co-creators of the program, both from Los Angeles, Carl Reed and Enrico Natale. Carl, Enrico, welcome in.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us, Simon.
And Enrico, by the way, is not only the co-creator, he is also a co-star. And we'll get to how that happened a little later on in the conversation. Carl, how did Grounded come about?
Well, initially, we are a production company, Redbird Entertainment, and we didn't really know what to do once the quarantine hit. It was before there were any rules and everything was shut down. So, rather than just kind of sit around, we decided let's take on the challenge ourselves of something as easy as a 8-episode, half-hour superhero block, with no crew. We were really taken with the idea of a superhero in quarantine that Enrico came up with, and then I knocked out the episodes, and we tried to write it in a way that we knew we could film, even though it was going to be extremely difficult, and that's kind of how it all began.
Mm-hmm. Enrico, what about this idea of a superhero that can't really be a superhero because of what's going on around them?
Yeah, we just thought it was really intriguing. I mean, Carl and I are both big superhero fans. And, I grew up reading comic books and Marvel comic books and DC and, Image. And we've never really seen anything like this, right? And, of course, the times and what we were going through, and this is in 2020 when we were shooting this, with everyone in quarantine and us being in L.A., and I'm sure it's the same in New York, like going outside and literally no one on the streets, no one out. And it was just my mind started racing about, like, What would this be like for a superhero? what if they had to stay inside? They're so used to and accustomed to being able to do and go wherever they want, get all this glorified, presence wherever they are. Everyone is always, like, knowing what they're doing, and they have to stay home. They have to stay home. They can't leave. And what does that do to their psyche? What does that do to their mental health? And how did they cope with that? So, Carl and I were, pretty excited about that idea.
By the way, how did you fashion this superhero? What kind of superpowers does this hero have?
Well, essentially he's a Superman analog. He's got the super strength, the X-ray vision, the heat vision, invulnerability. He doesn't really age too much, past a certain age. But for us, the interesting hook that I kind of thought would allow for a show where we could have guest stars, and instead of him saving the day in a more overt, outward way, he could be more introspective with himself and with his clients, was to make his alter ego personality a therapist. So once I kind of hooked in on that, I realized there are a lot of possibilities to kind of subvert the genre and kind of explore some of the tropes and funny, foibles and crazy kind of eccentricities that these heroes would really have if they were out doing this kind of stuff every day. And particularly, like Enrico said, when those means of attention and adulation are kind of cut off from them, what do they revert to?
Mm-hmm. And Enrico, why did you decide not only to be creator, writer, co-writer, director, et cetera, but also be the co-star?
Well, one of the reasons this got made is because of, I have a degree in theater acting. I've acted a lot of my career. And I've done a lot of different things. I love just dabbling in a whole bunch of different elements as a filmmaker and artist. And I felt like I could take it on, you know, and because we didn't have a crew, you know, that's the biggest thing with this is that we couldn't go anywhere. We were literally stuck inside. And so in a time when a lot of people felt kind of shackled to their homes and unable to do anything, and we were all trying to figure out the world, Carl and I were just like, you know what, we have an ability here to create something and make something happen. And I just took on the challenge of being, you know, having to not only act in it, but like run sound for myself. You know, I was turning on my own mic and making sure my boom was appropriate and turning the video, the monitor around so I could check my own focus in shots and make sure that the camera was aligned. And I had my father, my 70-year-old father, who had never held a camera before, you know, behind camera just to push the record button for me. And, like, my wife was helping with, like, art direction and helping, like, you know, place props and make sure continuity was fine. And, like, it was incredibly challenging from that perspective to do it. And I don't know if a lot of people could have done that. So I just knew that I kind of had the skill set to be able to, you know, being a producer in the industry for quite a while now, you know, I know a lot of different positions and I'm aware of what needs to get done and how they need to get done to a certain extent. And I just figured instead of being wrapped up in kind of the craziness of the world at that point, and there was lots of protests happening and, this is around the time of George Floyd and, you know, and then quarantining at home. It just felt like we could use this as an escape and do something with our time that we felt was valuable.
Grounded appears to be Tubi's first live-action original scripted series and certainly one on the superhero level. And we are with the co-creators and, in one case, the co-star. Carl Reed and Enrico Natale, they're both with us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tubi Televised. Grounded premiered on Tubi last week, and of course Tubi is a multi-channel bundle from Fox that's available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices all over the place. If you have a question or comment for Carl or Enrico, make a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We'll be back with another episode coming your way less than 24 hours from now, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific. And boy, we have a great hour in store for you. If you love the Yellowstone, be with us because we've got one of the co-stars. He's sort of a JR character, and he's played by John Emmett Tracy, and he will be our lead guest. Plus, we'll have from the new USA Network series, Barmageddon, that premieres in December, executive producer Chris Wagner. And don't forget, we have another episode coming your way, exclusive one, day after Thanksgiving. It's a nice morning breakfast one, 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific. We'll go live for the World Cup in Qatar and speak with Ray Warren, the head of Telemundo Deportes, whose crew is doing a wonderful job covering the event, which is also being simulcast on Peacock in Spanish, and Eli Velasquez, Telemundo Deportes, Executive Vice President of Sports Content. That's tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, and this Friday, day after Thanksgiving, remember the special time, 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific, right here, exclusively on Tomorrow Be Televised. Carl, how did you and Enrico get together to do this in the first place?
Well, Enrico and I and some other partners have a production company, Redbird Entertainment. We'd actually written a full series before we decided to do this particular series, but it was a lot more elaborate and a lot more complicated. And, you know, with the restrictions of the pandemic, we just weren't able to make the show that we previously wanted to make. And, you know, I think Enrico and I really work well together because we both have that same kind of work ethic and the ability to cover a lot of ground in multiple roles. So, you know, when he and I said, let's do this, you know, let's try to make something that brings a little laughter to the world, you know, I think we were both united in that mission to come together and push through, no matter how long it took or how hard it was. And we found another partner, Mark Renton, who's an amazing visual effects artist who, you know, did over 800 special effects for our show. So, you know, couldn't have done it without him either.
Yeah. And Enrico, what was it like to recruit your fellow co-stars for this? Because you got some very interesting backgrounds with some of these co-stars. There's a TikTok influencer named Andrew King Black Bachelor. He's got like 24 million followers on TikTok in a key role. You've got somebody from NCIS, and Andrew Tribeca, Nick Cardiff. You've got somebody from House of Anubis, Tasty Lawrence. You've got somebody from Burn Notice, Victor Salvatore. You've got somebody from Never Have I Enter, Jared Winkler. A lot of very interesting people. How you were able to recruit them? What kind of pitch did you give them to say, hey, be part of this with us?
You know, it wasn't a very hard pitch because, you know, everyone was also at home not doing anything, right? And I think artists, we feel the need to create. We feel better when we're creating or when we're, you know, able to do, perform and do the things that we like to do. So, and a lot of these people are friends of Carl and I's, people we've known throughout the industry for a long time and, you know, just insanely talented actors who we approached that we felt were right for the roles, and we approached them and talked to them about this because it was not easy for them either. They had to do this at home based off of memory of our rehearsals. And, you know, we would have rehearsals with them over Zoom, and then they would have to record their lines by themselves, and then, you know, we would record my lines on my end and shoot it, and then do the magic of editing, cut it together and make it look like we're talking to each other. So these actors had to do a lot of this on their own. We would give them, you know, kind of direction, how to shoot it, where to place the camera, things like that. But, you know, they had to kind of go through it. And it was a really interesting experiment for them as well, because that's certainly not how things are shot right now. So they had to kind of go in and really step up and try something unique and different. And, you know, quite frankly, I think that they all just crushed it. I think we have a phenomenal cast, and they all really brought a lot of energy and enthusiasm to the roles.
It sounds, Carl, like the magic of this program is in the editing and to try to make this a very cohesive whole in spite of what Los Angeles was dealing with at the time with the coronavirus pandemic. How did you do that? Not just editing, but maybe things like special effects, try to get outdoor shots as well as, you know, shooting everything indoors.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, at the time, there weren't really any rules. You know, that's the crazy part is all the death toll was really high and everybody was really scared and there were no vaccines at the time. So, you know, we wanted to put safety first at all times, you know, which is why we didn't have the crew and why we relied on everybody to do their own filming. There were some rare occasions where, you know, as more information came out and we knew about social distancing, if we had a scene that was shot outside, you know, we would be able to be with the actors in that situation or, you know, figure out, you know, masks or what have you. But those were rare and few and far between. So we relied a lot on visuals and the performances to really carry the show. And in terms of the editing, I mean, you know, I think Rico and I have a decent amount of, like, special effects know-how. But Mark really, you know, came in and helped us with how to do some of these very extensive visual effects. And it's in terms of one of the, you know, maybe the biggest unsung hero and the biggest thing that really made this show work, another skill set that Rico has is he was our editor for every episode, you know, and he found a way to not only perform, you know, there were times when he was doing 48 pages a day and running through it and then managing to cut it together seamlessly. I mean, you'd have no idea watching the show that, you know, the actors weren't interacting with the people they were talking to. Some of them have never met to this day. So, you know, that's really a huge achievement on Enrico's part.
And Enrico, there's also a twist to this show because part of it is that when you're not being a superhero and dealing with the coronavirus pandemic, you also have a secret identity as a therapist. And people find out about that, apparently. And what the twist is that you find a lot of people come to your door seeking help who are also superheroes. And they got their superpowers sort of in jeopardy because of what they're dealing with. Was that the idea all along in a way to sort of not just, you know, deal with how would a superhero deal with a situation like a pandemic, but also deal with the idea of secret identities and sort of turn this into a little bit of an in-treatment approach to superhero lore?
I mean, yeah, we literally were just having this conversation earlier with one of our – with the Lydia character, Kaylee McCormack. She talked about how one of the things that was great for her was that the show kind of highlighted that therapy is so important, and even to superheroes, therapy is necessary. And you know, I thought that was really interesting because our main character is struggling. You know, the character that I play is struggling. When this starts, he is not doing well having to be quarantined inside. And what you come to find out is that, you know, every superhero that comes to him is struggling. They're all having problems with this. And so it opened up the door to the possibility of examining all of these kind of trope characters that we're so accustomed to in the superhero universes, and you know, kind of playing with some of the things that their fears and their foibles, and you know, Carl did an excellent job of writing that, and he's basically an encyclopedia of superhero knowledge, which was very good for us to have.
This is Tomorrow Be Televised, the program about TV's current and future, and we're talking about Grounded. It is the new Tubi live-action scripted superhero series that premiered last week, and we've got the co-creators, and in the case of Enrico Talley, one of those creators is also a co-star of the series. That's Carl Reed and Enrico Talley. They're both with us live from Los Angeles this half hour here on TWBT. Happy you're with us wherever you are on this Thanksgiving week Tuesday. Simon Applebaum with you live from New Weber, York, where it is now 50 degrees at the top of the hour. If you have a question or comment on our remaining minutes with our duo, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up in our next half hour, we will have a return visit from the head of entertainment, an organization that's trying to get more original series, scripted and unscripted, on the air. Her name is Genevieve Thiers, and we will speak with her live from Chicago. Also, we've got our brand new classic trivia question of the week. We're going for our second weekly winner in a row, and that could be you. And we have a fun special prize in store for you, perfect for this Thanksgiving holiday weekend. So stay tuned, because we'll have that question for you near the top of the hour, and you could be our second weekly winner in a row. So, Carl or Enrico, how did this get into Tubi's hands?
Well, essentially, we have a partner, Homestead Entertainment, and we kind of connected with them on a few different projects, and you know, they loved the series and were really excited, and they had the deal with Tubi, and you know, they were able to watch the show. The response was great. You know, we wanted to make sure we delivered a final product that we could shop around, and Tubi was a really great home because you know, it hit a lot of the demographics that we were looking for, and like you said, you know, there weren't a lot of series out, and especially not series that involve superheroes. So we saw a lot of opportunity for kind of blazing a path here with that network that didn't have an IP, you know, like your Disney Pluses or, you know, other networks that already have entrenched superheroes.
Mm-hmm. And Enrico, this series does something that the majority of shows like this don't do, which is sort of like The Wizard of Oz at the end, sort of raise the curtain on how this thing was put together. Why did you decide to do that?
Well, I think, honestly, that's probably one of the most intriguing things about making this project was how it was done. You know, you'd be hard-pressed to find another television series that had, you know, a hand, like literally less than a kind of one hand amount of crew members and, you know, a 70-year-old father as your primary camera operator. You know, it's just a really unique story of how this was made. And it was really like Carl and I working 12 to 16-hour days for probably about 7 months straight trying to put this together. I mean, it was an intense labor of love for both of us. And at some point, we just got to the point where we're just like, you know, we have to see this through. We have to get this done because this is so unique. And we felt like that should be captured. That should be something that people see because that's very rare. And I hope that people not only watch the show, but watch how it was made because, you know, to me, that's one of the most fascinating parts about this.
And just to add to that, I just want to say it's something that I wish I'd said more in that BTS, but like, you know, the spirit of camaraderie that came together to make this show happen, and just the message that we want to put out there of, like, don't let anything stop you from making something if you believe in it. You know, there's always a way. There's always an avenue. You know, if you believe in yourself, you can make anything. And, you know, we really hope that resonates with other creatives out there to take a chance and then, you know, make something that matters to them.
By the way, how is this project funded? Did you bootstrap it through family and friends? Did you try to go for crowdfunding? How did the financing come about?
A little bit of investment here and there, but a lot of it was really just self-financed. And our costs were very minimal, you know, because we were doing all the labor. But also we had people donate their time as well, because it was such a, like I said, kind of like creative outlet for people, that they were excited. And it wasn't so much about the money as it was, you know, being able to make something and being able to perform. So, you know, it was a very unique circumstance.
You're now about a week into the run on Tubi. Have you gotten any feedback from Tubi's audience about your series? What do they like? What they don't like? What kind of feedback are you getting?
So far, all positive. I mean, like, we haven't gotten anything, you know, particularly negative. I haven't gone out and tried to search for it, to be honest. But, like, you know, the feedback that we've gotten from friends and family and friends of friends and people who've watched the show based off of other people, it's all been very positive. And I think it's really fascinating to them, you know, how the show was created. So that's great. And people who particularly love the superhero genre, I think will especially like it because of the all of the kind of tropes that we have in there.
Given that we are now out of pandemic era and into endemic era, at least we hope so, certainly in Los Angeles, definitely here in New York and around the country, what's next for both of you? Do we get a second season of Grounded where you can really go full blast with production values? Do we go to another project? What is next for both of you?
Well, 100% on that front. You know, I think we're hoping that people connect with these characters enough, and the storyline more about Victor Vance's, which is the paradigm, the main hero, his emotional arc, and the way his reality kind of shifts over the course of season one. You know, it's a show that was made during quarantine that involved a quarantine element, but we're more than ready to move past that now that things are open again and tell stories about these characters in a way that we always meant for them to be told and in a much more cinematic scope. So that, you know, if this all goes well with season one and we get a little bit of a fan base here, we've already plotted all of season two. So we'd be excited to bring it to life.
Mm. Yes, absolutely. I mean, the cinematic elements of the world, I'm just really, really excited about diving into that and opening up and leaving the home, right? The season one was about being quarantined at home and, you know, being able to exit the house and have these superheroes do superhero things in season two would absolutely be something that Carl and I would be very excited for. And then along with that, you know, Redbird Entertainment, our company, we've got just a slew of projects that we have going on. I mean, we've got a documentary that's hitting the festival circuit here. We've got several finished, completed feature films slated to release in 2023, and we've got a number of projects and pre-production and development.
And in the meantime, there is Grounded. It is on Tubi, Fox's multi-channel bundle. It's been around now for more than a year, and this probably is the first live-action scripted series, certainly the first in the superhero genre. And you can now see it on multi-channel bundles. And remember, Fox's Tubi is available as a multi-channel bundle on smart TV sets and smart devices all over the place. For more details about the service online, go to tubitv.com. It's TubiTV.com. And if people want more specific information on the web that Ground, is there a special website, either Carl or Enrico, they can go to?
For more information on Grounded?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can check out redbirdentertainment.com, our company website. We'll certainly have more information on that. And then any of our social media sites, you know, we have our YouTube, our Redbird Entertainment on YouTube is we're sending out a whole bunch of clips and everything. And then also our Instagram, which is Grounded TV Series. That's our URL on Instagram. And so people can follow us there for more information. But, yeah, check us out on Tubi.
And again, that is TubiTV.com. And we'll, if the show gets a second season or we hear about other TV projects from what Carl and Enrique are doing with their own production company, we will certainly keep you posted. Carl Reed, Enrico Attali, thank you both very much for coming on the program. Congratulations on getting this series on Tubi and everything you had to do to make it happen. And hopefully what started last week there is going to be the beginning of a wonderful run for this series and hopefully more TV from your folks coming in the works. It's been a pleasure to have you both on.
Thank you so much. It's been great.
You're welcome, Carl and Enrico. Take care. Fantastic Thanksgiving.
You too.
You too.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Carl Reed and Enrico Attali joining us live from Los Angeles. Coming up in our next half hour, where is entertainment going? A few months after we had the head on this program, that head, Genevieve Fears, will be back with us from Chicago, and she has a lot to talk about with her venture. Plus, our new classic trivia question and our prizes in play. That's near the top of the hour. And we'll get to all of that after we pause at the bottom of this hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, tune.com, together reaching over 75 main listeners around the world every month and growing. The popular independent music showcase has a wonderful Thanksgiving Eve episode for you. That's tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. The independent music showcase right here exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best beat to our 24/7 at YouTube.com, available on smart TV sets, devices, and multi-channel bundles everywhere. Welcome back to half hour number two of this Tuesday edition of Tomorrow Be Televised, second of our episode, Triple Header for Thanksgiving Week 2022. Simon Applebaum with you live from New Ever York, 50 degrees at the bottom of the hour. You have a question or comment for our guest ahead, make the phone call. The number is 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. And coming up near the top of the hour, our new classic trivia question and the new prizes you can win to be our second weekly winner in a row. A number of months ago, we introduced you to a very unique venture called Entertainment. That's M-I-N-T. And the whole idea, get more new television series, a variety of new television series, off the ground in all sorts of ways. Well, the person that introduced that venture to us and to you is back with us, live from Chicago, the Chief Executive Officer of Entertainment, Genevieve Sears. Genevieve, welcome back.
Hi, Simon. Thanks for having me again.
It is a pleasure to have you back. Happy Thanksgiving week to you. A lot has happened since we talked a few months back about entertainment, and a lot of it seems to be on the great side.
Yeah. Well, I know that you caught our update, you know, a few weeks ago. And, yeah, I mean, things are going fine for us. They're not going great for crypto. I mean, the FTX stuff's insane. But I feel like we're doing really well. We've got, you know, our marketplace out in 2.5 weeks. It looks beautiful. We've got our first 9 shows to pair to the, you know, we have a 10th one that we've already pulled off. And I think the future is really bright for what we're building.
How has the FTX situation impacted your pitch, not only to potential series makers, but also to the folks who would like to finance them, whether through cryptocurrency, whether through crowdfunding, whether through other financial means?
Yeah. So here's all I'm noticing. I am noticing that a lot of people kind of expected this to happen. It's like we're back in 2000, 2001, where nobody was sure the internet was going to be a thing. And, you know, everybody knew there was like a big bubble, but nobody could quite figure out, like, you know, how to pop it or why it was so big or, you know. And this is the same thing. I think we all knew something was going to break and fall over. But, you know, this is a particularly embarrassing sort of a fall, you know. But I would say our pitch hasn't changed that much. The one thing I'm noticing is that we're out basically saying to everyone, hi, we're redesigning TV and streaming. You know, on the back end, we're using NFTs and the blockchain. But on the front end, you know, basically we're a development hub where you can buy tickets into supporting a show, you know, paired to a distribution arm, similar to Film Hub. You know, but we distribute across Web 2 and Web 3. There's not that much difference because I think everyone was always looking at us. They call it the Web 2.5 play. If I've mm-hmm. noticed anything, it's that there's not as much talk of tokenomics. Like when I first went out to discuss, you know, entertainment, you know, eight months ago, everyone was like, oh, yeah, be true Web 3. You have to have tokenomics, which are token utility structure and your emissions and your velocities and your – and now that's all gone away. I mean, we went there. We actually did diagram all that stuff. We have a white paper on a potential token utility design and all that jazz. I even started a secondary incorporation in BBI, but I don't know if we're going to need it because, honestly, in my head, this is a 2.5 play, and we're just raising equity the way a traditional company has. And I'm actually relieved, you know, that the tokenomics side is settled down a little bit because I think we're going to need a year or two to truly understand how that works.
For those who didn't hear our initial conversation earlier a few months ago, explain how entertainment is going to distribute these series. I mean, are you going to set up a mega content service that will run on smart TV sets or smart TV devices? Do you find another way to do it where, let's say, smart TV becomes the second, or a service like Netflix becomes the second window? Explain how these services get to the TV viewer.
Right. So traditionally right now, when you are a creator, what happens is you either go one of two ways. One is you go to TikTok and similar and Twitch and YouTube, and you just stay there for an undefined amount of time. If you're happy on TikTok, stay on TikTok. It's awesome, right? But if you so much as look, you know, across the chasm to the five big streamers, you know, HBO, Amazon, Netflix, et cetera, it's a desert to get to them. It is a very long road. What you have to do as a creator that wants to, they say, jump to long form, you know, is you have to cross this desert. And it often requires you to do an enormous amount of festivals, gather a ton of fans, do a ton of meetings, chase down agents nonstop. It costs you a ton of money. And the problem is most of us don't make it. You know, most of us die in the desert, and it's crazy that we're dying in the desert, you know, on the way to Netflix because we have fans, you know, that could support us, but there's no way to connect those fans right now to the works that they're surrounding. So, you know, once you get to Amazon, Netflix, et cetera, I mean, it's not a great situation even then for a lot of new creators. I mean, often you're thrown off your own show and you're paid cost of production plus 30%, which is not a lot at all. You live in fear of being canceled. I mean, there's no upside, right? You can be paid $80,000 and then your show can turn around and make $20 million. There's no upside. So what we're doing is we're flipping the whole thing on its head and we're building what we call a decentralized collaborative storytelling platform. And think of us like Netflix meets OpenSea meets Kickstarter, right? You can buy tickets into the making of a show. Now, they happen to be NFTs in the blockchain, but we call them tickets. And you don't even need to know you're on Web3. You just use your credit card and an invisible wallet follows you that we built that. But, like, you don't even need to know that. And not only do we do that, but we sort of also build our own distribution side. You know, our own film hub is coming next year. So, you know, we can help you not just develop and fund your work. We can help you take it out to the market and distribute it as widely across Web 2 and Web 3 as you want. So I think that this idea of going direct to fan is very exciting. It just requires creators to be open to a little bit of a different paradigm than they have in the past.
Yeah. And where, Genevieve, does smart TV fit in? Especially since we talked, you now have all the smart TV set makers, Vizio, LG, Samsung, Hisense, et cetera, now generating their own content. They are now to cause exclusive content, not just aggregate channels and individual shows, but they're actually creating channels, individual shows. Roku is creating individual content. Tubi, as we showcased in the last half hour, they are now accepting original scripted series and unscripted series and made for TV and so on and so forth. So I'm just wondering where the smart TV universe fits in as a distribution point for your work.
Well, first off, we're a full streamer, too. I think everybody that can be tends to be, right, with, you know, with a lot of those extensions. But here's what I would say. It used to be that, you know, you wanted an exclusive relationship with Netflix, or you wanted Netflix to hire you to produce X show or write X show. You wanted to be on one platform in a big, big way. That's completely changed. Not only has the cost of production gone down, but today's writer, today's creator, they want to be on as many many platforms as they can possibly get on, unless, you know, you've specifically contracted with one and they're going to pour marketing dollars into you and celebrity. But, like, if that's not the case, which for most of us it isn't, you want to spread as wide a net as possible. So this year, A16Z put $8 million into Film Hub, which I think writers are starting to get very familiar with. If you go onto Film Hub, you basically can say, I want to stream across Tubi and Pluto, and, you know, you just do. You kind of click all the boxes, and then you fill out what you're open to and what you're not open to, like, I'm not open to an exclusive here, et cetera, you know, and then you let them come back. And if these three accept you, great, you'll be streaming across all three. We would love to work with anyone who is seeking content to help get our content over to them, because we realize the name of the game is spread your content as wide as possible and not only try and get it across Web 2 streamers as widely as possible, we're trying to push our creators through extensions of their IP itself. So if you have a show, you should have an NFT drop associated with it. You should have a merch drop. You should then be examining gaming or a metaverse presence or an AR presence within a game. There's always a way to extend your world. And so I'd say we're looking, yes, of course, across, you know, 2D, you know, extensions of stories, but 3D extensions of stories as well.
Mm-hmm. We're going to get into that a little bit more and whether some of the folks that entertainment is working with have an idea for multi-series franchises like The Walking Dead, like The Lord of the Rings, like Game of Thrones, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We are speaking with Genevieve Sears. She is the chief executive of entertainment. She joins us live from Chicago, the Windy City, this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised on this Thanksgiving week, Tuesday of 2022. Simon, I'm with you live from New York, 50 degrees at the bottom of the hour. You have a question or comment for Genevieve? Make that call now, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Got two more episodes of our program coming your way this week. Tomorrow, same time, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, and we got a great one for you. We've got from Yellowstone, one of the top co-stars with Kevin Costner, John Emmett Tracy. He plays a JR-like character that figures a lot into Season 5, which is off to the races. 12.5 million people saw the opening episode live, and it was on Paramount Network and other Paramount-owned cable services. And from the new USA Network series, Barmageddon, that premieres next month, we'll have executive producer Chris Wagner. And don't forget, as we announced earlier in the show, coming your way Friday, we'll be on at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific. We're going live to the World Cup in Qatar, and we'll be speaking with Ray Warren, the president of Telemundo Deportes, whose services Telemundo and Universo are presenting live coverage of all the World Cup action in Spanish. They had 4 million people catch it on Sunday for the opening games and ceremonies. And we'll also have Eli Velasquez, who is Executive Vice President of Teleportes Sports Content. That is coming your way at a very special time, day after Thanksgiving, this Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific, exclusively here on Tomorrow Be Televised. All right, let's talk about the opening batch of shows that entertainment is going to rep. I've seen the titles, and they're quite enticing.
Yeah, they are. Well, here's how we work. So when a creator comes to us, you know, they'll say, hey, I'm trying to gather 80K in support, right, to make a pilot. And so we'll generally sit down with them. We'll say, oh, awesome. You know, we'll look at their show. We'll look at the following. And then we'll say to them, okay, you know, we can help you first with a development grant. So we've actually already given out over $150,000 in development grants, which is kind of cool. That's all been since we last talked, Simon. So that's kind of a neat, you know, milestone that we've just done in the past few months. But, you know, usually we'll take off 20-25% if we can right off the bat for the creator. So, you know, that's the first step. The second thing that we'll do is we'll sit down and we'll say, okay, we've gotten you 20 of the 80, right? So the other 60, we've got to, you know, put together a series of tickets that'll be really enticing to brands and fans to buy into the making of your work. And these are fan engagement experiences, essentially, and brand sponsorship experiences. So, you know, we put together this series of tickets for our creators. And some of them are big. Like, everyone has that friend that likes to flex, right? So that friend might want to pay, you know, $5,000 to be a producer on the show. And you set the terms as the creator for what they get. So if that just gets them a visit to the set and a selfie with the star, fine, you know, but they're happy and they can yell about it online, you know. Also, there's usually a base level ticket, like $50 or something, you know, if you just want to see the show, you know. know, you buy it. It's sort of like the level of a movie ticket. But what I am excited about, Simon, is our interactive ticket. So we have this mid-tier ticket, which generally tends to be $250, $500, $750 range, something like that. And this ticket is so exciting. It's kind of like Cameo, but also reversed. So let me give you an example. New Haven Chronicles, which is one of our shows, and it's based off this awesome graphic novel called The Lunchbox Cop. It's filming in Phoenix and L.A., and this team is awesome. I think they've got the next Stranger Things. Like, their trailer just blew me backwards. They have two tickets that they're selling into their show. One of them is a $1,000 experience where your kid can hang out with the Lunchbox Cop and, you know, get a graphic novel that's signed and talk about some of the themes from the show, like Everyday Heroes. But for $2,500, your kid can actually be a speaking extra in a classroom scene or in a schoolyard scene alongside the leads. And how many of us know a, you know, stage parent that's, you know, looking to get their kids more ability to be on screen? So that is exciting, right? This is the first time I've seen the reverse, you know, of what Cameo offers, which is not just a personalized video or a personalized message to you from a star, but you can be in something with the star. So we've got all sorts of examples of that kind of interactive ticket, like Haunted Mansion X. For $500, she's making her patrons into the portraits on the wall of the Haunted Mansion set. And Catalyst Wrestling, which is this awesome show in Brooklyn, New York. It's a wrestling show. It's hilarious. For $250, you can have a wrestler roast your dad or your friend live on the air right before they go out to fight. Like, it's backstage. They're like, Jerry, go to the gym. You got this big talk on Thursday, you know? It's so funny. And I just love the interactive piece. I mean, we've got tickets that can, you know, make you an illustrated fairy tale character, that can allow you to cast your NFT in a show as the villain, that can allow you to caddy or even play a round of golf with legends. I mean, wild kinds of tickets. And I think this is what I mean when I say the paradigm shifting a little bit, the lines between fan and creator. But if creators are able to get comfortable with that, they can climb to the stars without Netflix. They can use our model instead.
By the way, is each creator committed to a certain number of episodes? That they must make like 3, 4, 5, 6, or is it different for each creator in terms of the number of episodes they make?
Well, they all decide to make a jump. So some of them are just trying to make a pilot. One of them is trying to make a miniseries, so 6 episodes, 15 minutes each. Our NFT animated shows, they often tend to be more like 6 to 8 minute episodes, but often they want to make at least 3 because, you know, we are partnering with a couple of different networks, including Tubi, actually, where we are, well, that's actually in motion right now. I shouldn't say that we actively are because I honestly have to check, but we are applying to, you know, work with different networks where we can say to them, hey, look, we've got this great, you know, 24-minute segment, but we've also got this NFT animated show where we're combining 3 and we can make that into a 24-minute segment as well. I think we're going to find that our creators are coming to us with a couple of buckets of things they're trying to do. They're either trying to make a short, which can turn into a movie, a pilot for a series, or like a 3-part, you know, season 1 of an NFT animated show. Those are the bigger buckets I've seen so far. And there will be more, but this is a pretty good start because we can easily spin those out across more networks and get them even more play once, you know, we help them develop on our site.
Now, we were expected this afternoon to be joined by members of a group of a project called Farm Folk. Which sounds quite interesting in terms of a comedy. What are they up to?
Oh, Farm Folk. Well, we have 9 amazing shows, of which Farm Folk is one. They are hysterical. Hysterically funny. They're a group of millennials that ended up with a farm in Ohio, and it's run by this husband-wife team, and he's got complete ADHD, and she has the patience of a saint. And between them, they drive tractors into walls. They're so funny. But they've ended up with, I think they call it a collaborative farm co-op. They actually do a lot of Feeding the Hungry in their area, and they've got this Web3 flair. They've been selling NFTs to support their work, and their interactive ticket with us is absolutely drop-dead hilarious. You can either name part of the garden plot on the farm, or you can name a chicken or a goat on the show. And the chickens and the goats are in the show. They're really funny. And so, like, I just think this team is one of the funniest I've seen. It reminds me a bit of Clarkson's Farm. You know, the guy from Top Gear in the UK did this, where he's no idea what he's doing, but it's really funny TV. This is the American Clarkson's Farm, just in a shorter format with some Web3 flair and high levels of comedy.
Yeah. We seem to be in this era now of what I call the multi-series franchise. You have AMC, which has the Walking Dead universe. Of course, they completed the Walking Dead on Sunday night, made a big deal about how about 2 million people saw the finale. They've got the Anne Rice series now, Interview with a Vampire. They want to create more from the vampire novels that she did. They're also creating Mayfair Wiki, which premieres in January. You've got House of Dragons, Game of Thrones, and also the possible pilots. Other people are doing other things. Are any of the creators you're working with, are they that ambitious? Do they want to become multi-series creators?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I think the 10 that we've launched with, because we already had one mint work, Grace Ng with Crash Punk, who, wow, her first episode was awesome. We actually screened it at Catalyst in Duluth, Minnesota. It was awesome. She won a big award. But, like, all of our creators are going to go on and do more things. They're smart. What they've done is they put together great shows, but they have followings. They've learned how to use social media. Now, some of them are really popular on one segment. So Yvette Vargas, for example, has this amazing show called Confessions about a fallen angel, and he uses a cell phone to help sinners. It's an awesome show. Her following is primarily on Clubhouse, and that's fine. But then you go over and you've got the Frenchie Ballers, which is this awesome series about these French bulldogs who play basketball with four. It's got NFL stars in it voicing a character, and this is a really fun show. On the other avenue where they want to do another NFT collection and another animated series after this one. So I think once they take off in a direction, there's no stopping them. What we're excited is testing the ticket sales and the mints. So I think we're going to do very well. We're about to go out and start explaining to people that it's a great holiday gift to give your kid, the ability to be an extra in a role in a show shooting in LA. And it is. It's an awesome gift to, give your dad the ability to caddy for, a golf legend on Bryce Butler's show, the Local Drive, which is one of our opening night. These are gifts that are out of this world awesome. And again, like I've mentioned, they're like Cameo, but they're like Cameo Plus, because you can be in the show, not just on the sidelines or getting getting like a video from the star. So I think the world's our oyster. Our challenge is just to go out and sell these. I feel confident because we're the team behind SitterCity.com. We spent 20 years convincing the moms of America and then the world that it was safer to go online to hire your babysitter than to hire the girl next door. So we've done this kind of large-scale pivot before. I think we're just doing it again this time. And this time around, it's the lines are blurring a little bit between creator and fan, but that fan for you means that you can have experiences you only dreamed of in the past.
The recent Catalyst TV Festival in Duluth, Minnesota was sort of your company's coming out in public about what they're up to.
Yeah,
obviously,
yeah.
Being there really, really
the
works. Have you heard from other TV festivals or film festivals that are showcasing TV series pilots about getting involved with them?
Well, actually, we have had a flood since then. So, we've had, we did a study, with a couple of friends, you know, that happen to be high up in different areas of festival life. And so we've got 300 festivals we've been targeting, 80 of which are of high interest and 30 of which we're talking to this year. So we just actually came out of Austin Film Festival last week. We will be at Sundance. I mean, we're just going to be at everything. It's kind of an exhausting thing that we're trying to figure out, actually, because there's a lot of us on the team, and I think we're going to end up splitting up a lot because there are so many festivals. If anything, I'll probably be more at the Web3 events, and you might see like our head of distribution, AJ Salmon, at a festival, or you might see, you know, one our CMO or our COO or somebody at a festival instead. You know, some of the events are at the same time. I think for us, as long as we keep, we do a wide net, you know, we throw a wide net and we stay at the forefront of not just the traditional film festival circuit, which in a way we are basically digitizing, right? And I want to do that with film festival leaders' help. We want them to be the ones coming in and for a portion of entertainment, right, screening, you know, our content, like helping us give the distribution grants. Like that's part of this. But we also don't want to miss any of the Web3 content coming out either. And you just can't meet, you know, the big NFT creators unless you're at Consensus and Bitcoin, you know, 2023. And, you know, so it's a lot, but I think you'll see us across both of them.
By the way, I want to mention the 9 shows that that entertainment is dealing with. You mentioned Catalyst Wrestling and Farm Folk. There's also Confessions. You mentioned New Haven Chronicles. There's Sherwin Ari's comedy special, Fairy Tale Fallout.
Oh, yeah, sure. He's hilarious.
The Local Drive. It's a local golf showcase reality show, and Frenchie Ballers. But also, I understand that, according to your latest press release, there's a bunch of other shows, at least 10, that also you're dealing with that might reach people through their TV sets sooner than later.
Oh, yeah. We've got a couple of really cool collaborations. For example, there's a project called Never Alone, which was done by a woman named Sherry McCracken, and she's a kind of a film three maven. I know her as an LGBTQ female director, but there's many people that know her on Twitter as a moderator. And she came to me and said, hey, there's a Film 3 collective happening a month ago in L.A. I'm going to shoot a small movie in it with a bunch of partners. Would you help us? And I said, yeah, sure. This is exactly what we're here to do. So various members of Film 3. So if you go on Twitter, you'll see it's called the Film 3 Community, hashtag Film 3, FILM3. You'll see, you know, a bunch of projects that are collaboratively put together, like Sherry's. And Never Alone is complete. You know, it's a short. So that will be one of the things we'll be streaming. So we have some completed content as well off the bat when we launch at entertainment.com in 2.5 weeks. But I'm excited that you can come to our site and not just stream completed content. You can also look at our projects and buy a ticket into, you know, the project and help it get off the ground. And that's, I think, the real heart, the beating heart of what we're doing, the revolutionary side. I think this is going to work, but it's going to take all of us, you know, all the creators that have ever died in the desert or been really frustrated or angry at the situation. If we turn to this, do a little more work and push it ahead, we won't need the big streamers anymore. And that's important, right? A Web3 allows for this kind of emancipation. It allows you to flip things and do them in a decentralized way, you know, with no huge, you know, person at the top making a decision, no gatekeeper. And so I have hope. I think it'll be really cool for people to see this, and it'll be a ton of work, but we're ready.
And if you want to find out more about entertainment and all of the show creators, whether they're specials, whether they are scripted series, unscripted series, animation, et cetera, here's where you go. Again, online, entertainmint. That's entertain, M-I-N-T, mint.com, entertainment.com. We'll keep you posted, by the way, on any mega content services or multi-channel bundles or smart TV sets, folks, that pick up any of the shows. And if so, we will invite the creators of those programs to come on with us. Genevieve Fears from Entertainment, thank you again for joining us. A great pleasure. Happy that things are really moving and moving fast. And, of course, it will expand the TV empire, hopefully in a lot of ways that we don't know yet, and a lot of ways, hopefully, that we will come to know. It's been a pleasure having you on. Genevieve, take care. Have a fantastic Thanksgiving.
Thanks, Simon. You too.
Take care. Genevieve Tears from Entertainment joining us live from that wonderful Center City, Chicago, Illinois. Now time for our new classic trivia question of the week, and we're going for our second weekly winner in a row. And given it is the Thanksgiving holiday, we have two wonderful CD prizes for you from TV Guide, the 50 all-time favorite TV themes. It's everybody from Sesame Street to MASH to Happy Days to Mad About You. In many cases, they're the original theme with the original people singing them or doing them. And if you are a Fred Astaire fan, how about the CD Let's Face the Music and Dance, featuring a lot of Fred Astaire's greatest hits, from A Fine Romance to Isn't This a Lovely Day, Let Yourself Go, Night and Day, They All Laugh, They Can't Take That Away from Me, from The Barkings of Broadway, and other films that Broadway was on on Turner Classic Movies recently. And both of these CDs can be yours if you know the answer to this question. Tomorrow, Netflix unveils Wednesday. It's the new Addams Family spinoff with Jenna Ortega as that classic character, rebooted in a whole new way. Also starring Catherine Zeta-Jones as Morticia and Louis Guzman as Gomez. Here's the question. Who played Wednesday on the original Addams Family TV series from ABC in the 1960s? Who played Wednesday on the Addams Family television series? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. First with the correct answer, you win both of these wonderful CDs, the TV Guide 50 All-Time Favorite TV Themes, and the Fred Astaire Collection, Let's Face the Music and Dance. If we don't get a winner by the end today, we'll post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to play in. So do so, and all the very best. When we come back, we'll have that comment that I promised you yesterday about Bob Iger and Bob Chapek and what is going on at Walt Disney and how it will impact the TV you watch from them. And we'll have an explanation about why we went off the air suddenly and didn't have the beginning of our episode triple header that we promised you. All that after we pause at the top of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com. Together, reaching over 75 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Big Thanksgiving Day special coming your way on Thursday, courtesy of IL Radio on BTR. And it comes your way in prime time, Thanksgiving night, Thursday, 10:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Pacific. It's IL Radio's Thanksgiving night special. That's this Thursday, 10:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And don't forget, that's BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the Marvy Televised on this Tuesday special edition, part of our Thanksgiving week episode triple header. And welcome to those of you just joining us at the top of the hour. Simon Applebaum with you live from Nueva York. Coming your way shortly, a comment about what is going on at the top of Walt Disney and how it might impact the TV you watch from them. But first, it's time for an explanation about what was supposed to happen and then what didn't happen on yesterday's planned first of our triple header episodes. As mentioned, we had a 90-minute episode awaiting you on Monday afternoon. We had a bunch of wonderful guests. We had Brady Cornell, the executive producer of ABC's The Great Christmas Light Fight, starting its 10th season next Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. We had Mark Bronson, the vice president of Fine Art Auction Channel, one of the more unique smart TV distributed services in recent months. And we had a roundtable segment planned with series pilot winners of the recent Catalyst TV Festival in Duluth, Minnesota. When we went on the air, all of our guests were ready to go. They called in on time for sound checks. Everything was hunky-dory. We did the news notes. And then when it came time for Brady Connell to come on the air, he didn't. That's right, he didn't. He was taken off. When we tried to get him back, we couldn't get him back. We had to do some stretching. We did the special tribute to Jennifer DeMarchi, the head of Stardom, who passed away over the weekend because of her struggle with breast cancer. And then we tried to reboot the show so that we could get Brady on. And usually when we do reboot the show, we are able to get back on. We didn't. Excuse me. And not only did we not get back on the show, our listeners didn't get back on, our guests did not get on, and if you were listening, you didn't get back on. Because when people tried to get back on, they got a crazy note on their webpage saying, you know, no good, one way or another. The bottom line is that we were the victims of a technical meltdown that we believe happened at Blog Talk Radio's end. And sadly, that is why we did not have the beginning that we promised you of this episode triple header for Thanksgiving week, our fourth annual time doing it. And for that, I deeply apologize. And I apologize on behalf of our guests. I apologize on behalf of Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. I apologize to our podcast family of great podcast platforms, whether it's Spotify or iHeartRadio or iTunes or Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, et cetera, et cetera. And just to update you on the situation, we have tried to get a word from Blog Talk about what happened to us and maybe other Blog Talk shows, we're not sure, yesterday afternoon, that forced us and maybe them off the air. We have yet to hear back from Blog Talk. Also, I'm very happy to tell you that our first two guests yesterday, Brady Connell and Mark Bronson, will be with us next Monday in the same time period they were scheduled to be on yesterday. Brady will be our lead guest, which is great timing with the 10th season premiere of Great Christmas Light Fight on ABC, and Mark Bronson will be with us in the second half hour as vice president of Fine Art Auction Channel. We are still trying to get word from the Catalyst City Festival people about rescheduling them for an upcoming episode. If not next Monday, next Friday, or sometime in December. And we'll keep you posted. I said this a number of times over the course of our run here, to say the fact that for all the technical brilliance that the Internet is, and it is one of the most brilliant communication tools in the existence of people and of this planet, that it can be at times very, very, very fragile. And usually, once in a great while, we are taken off the air. And we're taken off the air usually because of some outside force outside of Blog Talk Radio, outside of yours truly, outside of you, our listeners. It could be anything from a power outage in a given area, a short circuit somewhere, an electrical a piece of craziness, a hurricane, you know, thunder and lightning, a horrendous rainstorm, et cetera, et cetera. And we get that. And usually when we have had this kind of situation happen, we are able to get back on the air and certainly to reschedule our guests if they are impacted. However, this was not the case yesterday. This was a meltdown that, frankly, should have been avoided. And it appears to have been a meltdown on Blog Talk Radio's end. And I sincerely hope that whatever happened does not happen again. Because frankly, our show and Blog Talk should be better than this. We should not have to deal with this kind of issue. Because we are no longer, just in case you should know, a Blog Talk Radio show. We're a live simulcast. We are on with Spreaker. We're on with TuneIn Radio. I met the TuneIn Radio CEO last year at Adweek New York in Manhattan. Great guy. He runs a wonderful shop. And now we are on more podcast sites than ever before. And they are all impacted by the kind of crazy situation that happened yesterday that frankly should not have happened. We're better than that. And I really hope that from here on in, Blog Talk Radio learns a lesson and does what it has to do technology-wise to avoid this kind of China syndrome-like meltdown. It should not be happening. Absolutely should not be happening, especially given that now we're a simulcast, especially now that we are available on many leading podcast sites, and we have our website, tomorrowbetelevised.com. And when something like this happens, it impacts them, and it raises credibility in their minds and in the TV industry's minds about the validity of this program, because it comes back to yours truly. I think we've proven ourselves in over 15 years that we are, I think, a very special program. We are the only show of its kind on internet radio or on podcasts. We don't, unlike TV's Top 5 that has its show taped in advance a day or two, we are on live, and we bring you the best guests we possibly can from current and future programming and services. And if you check our track record, the quality of guests we've had on this program, I think, is comparable to any show that Blog Talk Radio has and any show that any other podcast organization or internet radio organization has. And, of course, you've had a chance to hear that over the last hour. And we have introduced more new talent in the television field on this program than any other. And we have done a lot to expand diversity on television, to showcase programming by African Americans, by Asian Americans, Latinos, the gay and lesbian community, transgender, Native Americans, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. More than, I believe, any other program of this nature. And I will be darned if we have to have a meltdown of what took place yesterday screw us up. So I, again, apologize to all of you for what happened yesterday. And I really hope that Blog Talk will take whatever it needs to do to have this be a non-issue going forward. I want to repeat, I love Blog Talk. The editorial freedom this website, this site provides is fantastic. We have never had an issue with a guest on this program or a subject on this program. I've never had Blog Talk call me up and say, you can't talk about this, you can't talk about that. And I want this relationship to continue. I really do. It's a marvelous site. And that's in spite of the fact that we get no marketing support, no promotional support, no advertising support from Blog Talk or, for that matter, Spreaker to the radio. And I wish we did, because I know there are a lot of people out there that are interested in covering the world and hearing about the world of television, especially given all the options out there. So, again, I'll say this one more time. We apologize for what happened last night, yesterday. We go forward. And let's do better, all right, on everybody's end. And we'll and in the meantime, we will continue to bring you the best show we possibly can with great guests from all different backgrounds of television. And now, the comment that I promised you yesterday that we will do right now. As you know by now, the Walt Disney Company, one of the largest producers of television, had a change at the top over this weekend, a quick, sudden, swift change. Bob Chapek, who has been the chief executive of the Walt Disney Company for the last 2 years plus, gone. Bob Iger, who Chapek succeeded back in 2020, back in the chief executive role, at least for 2 years. Why did it happen? Well, to be honest, Bob Chapek, who did a lot of good things over the last 2 years for Disney, in spite of a pandemic, in spite of craziness, and in spite of the changing tide of Wall Street and what they want out of mega content services like Disney Plus and Hulu and ESPN Plus, Chapek made some errors, and many of them were unforced. One of them, the Scarlett Johansson situation, which should have been a behind-the-scenes thing all along. In case you don't remember, Black Widow, Scarlett Johansson's highly touted movie, was taken out of theatrical distribution, put on Disney+, apparently without compensating Johansson properly for the change in distribution tactics. She went public with the matter. Chapek basically went against her, and it raised holy heck. And it raised credibility issues with Disney among program and movie creators. Then the whole issue of the Don't Say Gay bill, which was not a Don't Say Gay bill. That Bob Chapek, who basically did the right thing at the beginning, which was don't say anything about this because this is a man-made, media-made controversy that has nothing whatsoever to do with gay and lesbians, basically saying, hey, parents, you should know when your kids, whether they are in kindergarten, first grade, second or third grade, are not being taught reading, writing, arithmetic by a teacher, rather issues of sex, gender, et cetera, that frankly you should be dealing with in the comfort of your home with your child. And initially, Chapek, I thought, took the right tack, which is we're not talking about it. Because frankly, this is a bill that actually is great for Disney's core audiences, parents and their kids. Unfortunately, Chapek went the other direction. That raised the ire of Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, and that got into a whole brouhaha, which should have been avoided. if Disney had taken the proper course and said, you know what, let's really read this bill and let's get behind the bill because it really deals powerfully for the benefit of our audience, parents and kids. And by the way, there were a lot of people in the gay and lesbian community who were for the bill and didn't get taken in by the media controversy, don't say gay, etc. That hurt Chapek. And again, it raised credibility issues with Disney's core audiences parenting their kids about whether they should trust Disney, whether watching their shows or going to their theme parks and attractions around the country and around the world. However, the big issue, what really, I think, turned Chapek off a lot of people and got Iger back in the picture was the latest quarterly report, which Wall Street was flabbergasted about, basically saying, yes, Disney Plus and Hulu and ESPN Plus are getting subscribers. However, they're losing billions of dollars. And that's and when Wall Street made it clear, hey, Bob and Disney folks, it's not no longer about getting subscribers. It's about being profitable and watching your costs, you know, and making sure that when you make creative product, great storytelling, you do it at a reasonable cost. And when Chapek basically didn't respond to Wall Street's concerns, and on top of that, then, about a week or so ago, basically saying to Disney employees, we're going to do cost-cutting, we're going to do a hiring freeze, et cetera, that was the last straw with Disney's board directors. And I think there were some things also that didn't get attention, like, for example, the declining ratings at ABC, the issues with cost at ESPN, sports rights, and so forth. The low ratings there. The woke culture situation among Disney employees and so on and so forth. All of that contributed to Chapek's ouster and Iger coming back in. So what will it mean for you? Well, one thing that Iger has made clear already in his first hours as the returned Disney CEO is that he's going to streamline the process by which shows get on various places, whether it is ABC or ESPN or Freeform or Disney Plus, that it will be more in the creators' hands, not in a separate organization headed by a separate person, who that separate person, as we mentioned earlier on the show, is now out, namely Kareem Daniel, who was the head of the media distribution group. That group is probably done for. Secondly, I think you'll see more focus on getting ABC back in shape, because ABC's ratings are not great. Abbott Elementary is not getting the Emmy bounce. Not at all. The new shows like Avalon, etc., not doing well so far. ABC has had a canned Pilots. They just canned, Alaska Daily. That's the show with Hilary Swank. That's not doing well so far. Avalon, the David Kelly highly touted series, that's gone after watching the pilot. Freeform is sort of in a phantom zone. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And they're at the bare minimum when it comes to original scripted television and unscripted too. I think you're going to see Iger attack ABC, Freeform, and really hone in on what Disney Plus is supposed to be all about. Should Disney Plus focus on the Disney franchises like Star Wars and Pixar and Lucasfilm? Should it be kid and family friendly, or should it be a broader general entertainment service? I think we will get that answer very, very soon. And whatever that answer is, I think Iger will go to the max to make it work in a cost-effective way for the Disney Plus subscribers out there. And let's not forget that starting next month, Disney Plus introduces the ad-supported format, limited advertising, and workable. And we hear there is a lot of interest in advertising on Disney Plus. So people have a choice of whether they want to see Disney Plus commercial-free or with 3 to 5 minutes of commercials an hour, with breaks no longer than a minute or 90 seconds. And I also think we're going to get an answer very quickly about Hulu. What role does it play in the Disney hierarchy? Will it become a worldwide service, not just a U.S. service? And is it going to be the general entertainment service that I think all of its founders really wanted to be in the first place? I think Iger is going to make some very interesting decisions over the course of the next few months. And believe me, they will have tremendous impact on you, the viewers of ABC and Freeform and ESPN, other Disney cable services, and Disney Plus and Hulu and ESPN Plus. And yes, I'm sorry that Bob Chapek didn't have the opportunity to say goodbye. He should have had that right. After all, he was president for, he's the head of Disney for 2 years plus. He should have had the opportunity to say goodbye. He should have been able to wish Bob Iger well. After all, he was groomed by Iger to be in that job. And I'm sorry again that he did not get that. Neither did Kareem Daniel either. And I'm sure that Bob Chapek will have a future in somewhere in the business world. If not in television entertainment, somewhere in the business world. He's not really a bad guy. He just happened to make bad decisions at bad times. He's learned. Every executive learns. I'm sure that in 15 years of running Disney, initially Bob Iger learned also. He even wrote a book about it. Bestseller. I really hope that Disney will be a better company. It is one of the great suppliers of TV content. And yes, if it's in the creator's hands and it's cost effective, Disney can have another great era, whether it's on Disney Plus or ABC or wherever. Let's hope so. Let's hope so. All right, that will do it for this edition of the Marvy Televised. Before we go, let me give you the classic trivia question one more time. And one more time, our two prizes are both great CDs, the TV Guide, 50 all-time favorite TV themes. Many of them are the original soundtracks from the shows. And the Fred Astaire collection, Let's Face the Music and Dance. The question, who played Wednesday on the Addams Family television series that ABC ran for two seasons in the 1960s? Who played Wednesday on the Addams Family television series on ABC in the 1960s? If you know the answer, email me. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Remember to enclose your name and your full mailing address. If we get, if you're first with the correct answer by email, you win. By the way, if you're a previous guest or winner, you're not eligible. And if we don't get a winner by the end today, we'll post a question tomorrow morning on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. Remember, we want to hear from you. And the way you win, you get in and do so. And all the very, very best. We are back tomorrow. Big hour in store for you from Yellowstone, co-star John Emmett Tracy. And from Barmageddon on USA Network begins next month, executive producer Chris Wagner. And don't forget, we have a very special edition coming your way Friday, day after Thanksgiving, this Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific, live from the World Cup in Qatar. We will have Telemundo Deportes President Ray Warren and Telemundo Deportes Executive Vice President Eli Velasquez. We'll talk all things World Cup on television and a whole lot more. And we'll also get into what Telemundo Deportes will be doing in 2023, what new frontiers will it cross for Spanish language television. Remember, you can catch the World Cup on Telemundo, also replays on Univision, on Universo, and you can also catch the simulcast in Spanish on Peacock, available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to our homepage. It's blogtalkradio.com/televised. blogtalkradio.com/televised. And check out our podcast. You want to catch up on episodes you missed throughout this month and earlier this year, go to places like Spotify, iHeartRadio, and their podcast network, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, and other great podcast destinations, as well as our homepage, tomorrowwillbetelevised.onpodium.com. It's tomorrowwillbetelevised.onpodium.com. And remember, if you have a question about television that you'd like us to answer on this program, we have a question part on the home screen of On Podium site. Go there, put the question in, I'll take a look. If we use your question on the air, of course, you get the credit. In the meantime, love to hear from you. What do you think about our show today? What's your thoughts on where TV is at and where it's going? Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're from. And remember, use that for our classic trivia question. Use that also for our regular feature, A Show to Know. Is there a TV show you like that doesn't get enough attention? We'll give it the attention. And if we hear from you and we use suggestion on the air, you get the credit. That's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. I do respond to all emails in 24 hours or less. And remember, you can also catch me on social media, Facebook and LinkedIn at Simon Applebaum, and Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. Remember, we love hearing from you, and we do respond within 24 hours. That's our promise to you. Why? Because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed are those of the participants. They are not those of Blog Talk Radio and other streamers of this program. Andy Toe is BTR's General Manager. Jay Sonnenberg is Head of Content. Website certified by On Podium, the internet's big podcast outpost. Guitarist Vegas is our web coordinator. For tomorrow we televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a wonderful rest of your Thanksgiving week Tuesday. We are back tomorrow for our wrap-up of our episode triple header. That's Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio, speaker to the radio, and all of our podcast destinations. Whatever you're doing to now and tomorrow, make it safe, make it great. If you're getting out Thanksgiving tomorrow to go see your family and friends, please make sure you take all the precautions necessary. You know, follow the advice of folks about when to leave, whether it's by car, train, plane, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So please, be now, be great. And if you're going to a destination tomorrow, make sure you get there on time and in great, great shape. And if you haven't been vaccinated, check in with your doctor. Find out about all the treatments, the coronavirus alternatives available to you on pills and so forth, and then make a great choice, your choice. Until the next time, tomorrow afternoon, stay well and stay tuned.